We need to know where the stockpiles are, what the status is of masks and gloves. There's a lot of information that needs to be transmitted. It can't wait to the last minute.
A troubled transition amid a pandemic. It's Tuesday, November 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Asia Commerce confronts COVID, speaking the language, and you can own masterpiece art. It's all on today's VOA Asia. As coronavirus cases rise in the United States, the transition team for former Vice President Joe Biden, the projected winner of the 2020 presidential race, is asking the Trump administration to begin the transition process this week to help the country. Michelle Quinn tells us more.
Wherever you look in the U.S., the coronavirus pandemic is surging. But the virus responsible for the COVID-19 disease is caught up in a political drama. Whether President Donald Trump will allow cooperation between his administration and the team for Joe Biden, the projected winner of the 2020 presidential race, who would be inaugurated on January 20th. So far, Trump, who continues to allege without evidence that there was widespread voter fraud, has not allowed a transition to a new government to begin. Biden team members say that is endangering the country amid the pandemic's surge.
It is in the nation's interest that the transition team get the threat assessments that the team knows about, understand the vaccine distribution plans. We need to know where the stockpiles are, what the status is of masks and gloves. There's a lot of information that needs to be transmitted. It can't wait to the last minute.
President Trump hasn't attended a virus task force meeting in 5 months, according to the Washington Post. But the president spoke last week about the timeline of a vaccine for the COVID-19 disease.
And this process is starting right away. Millions of doses will soon be going out the door. They're all ready, waiting for that final approval.
Admiral Brett Giroir, member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, says that the Trump administration's efforts to combat the infection are shared widely with the public, including members of Biden's team.
I want to be as transparent as possible with everybody. This is not a political issue. This is an issue of public health and saving American lives. And I think there's nothing more important than that.
John Bolton, a former Trump national security advisor, called on Republican leaders to push the White House to share information about the virus and national security with the incoming Biden administration.
Again, I just think it requires Republicans to explain that in the nature of things, we need a transition and we should proceed with it as soon as we can.
According to the Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. currently has nearly 11 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 and close to 246,000 deaths. The U.S. leads the world in the number of cases. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on the road again, but as he speaks with foreign leaders, his refusal to recognize Joe Biden's victory has raised eyebrows, as VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is traveling on what is likely to be one of his final tours as the chief U.S. diplomat, heading to France, Turkey, Georgia, Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. The trip comes just days after this exchange in the State Department briefing room about Joe Biden being projected as president-elect last Saturday.
Is the State Department currently preparing to engage with the Biden transition team? And if not, at what point does a delay hamper a smooth transition?
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right, we're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly.
Biden chuckled when he was asked about Pompeo's comments.
Secretary of State Pompeo.
Biden dismissed concerns that President Donald Trump has refused to concede and said he has held congratulatory talks with a number of allied leaders across the world, including the leaders of France, Germany, Australia, and South Korea.
First of all, I'm letting them know that America's back. We're going to be back in the game. It's not American alone.
Another of the leaders Biden spoke with is British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, a close ally of Trump, who was asked if he had any advice for his friend who is refusing to concede.
Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I had and have a good relationship with the previous president. I do not resile from that. It is the duty of all British Prime Ministers to have a good relationship with the White House.
Experts say some in the diplomatic community are perplexed by Pompeo's refusal to acknowledge the election results and start the transition process, and that this trip abroad will not be a victory lap for him.
I think Secretary Pompeo will have somewhat of a lame duck status himself. Most countries and diplomats I've been talking with, they're more interested in talking to the incoming team and not the one that's outgoing.
Biden has pledged to rejoin the Paris Climate Change Accord and the Iran nuclear deal, among other expected major shifts. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, at least 67 people are dead, 12 others missing after Vamco, the 21st and deadliest typhoon to hit the Philippines this year, struck Manila and other provinces with strong winds and torrential rain. Many areas remain submerged. The storm later made landfall in Vietnam, causing injuries and damage there. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. The economic impact from COVID-19 has led to the shutdown of companies around the globe. But as Dave Grunebaum reports, one small business in Malaysia has found a way to go from bust to boom.
At home with his family, Sri Themadu packages gift baskets his customers have ordered for the Indian festival Deepavali. Savoring sweet treats from crackers to coconut candy. They're all made from scratch in his mother's home and in the kitchens of several friends. For 8 years, Sri's seasonal business has catered to Malaysian families and local companies who buy the gift baskets for employees and clients.
So I go to the corporate companies, show some samples, and also let them taste the food before they purchase. But this year, I could not do that due to the pandemic.
And sales dropped dramatically due to the slumping economy. So he took a chance and invested almost $1,000 to hire a professional photographer and videographer to improve the look of his website and promote his suites on Instagram. Business not only turned around, but he now has three times as much revenue as his previous best year.
The main reason why I did professional videography and photography is because people cannot touch, feel the product, but they want to see the best visuals in order for them to feel they're buying the right product for their clients or their staff.
It's a success story at a time when many businesses are struggling in the current economic climate.
It all boils down to the mindset of business owners.
Yohindran Nader Arultavan, a researcher at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, says business owners must adapt to changing times.
If they're willing to make the changes that are needed to stay relevant to the demands that consumers have currently, then you'll survive.
So I think when there is a problem, so you need to find a solution. So same goes here. So when the climate has changed, the business climate has changed, so we really need to tap on and look for the other options, how we can perform better. So that is what actually we did.
As one path to customers closed, Sri found a new one. And that's why for him, business this year is as sweet as his treats. Dave Grunebaum for VOA News, Cyberjaya, Malaysia.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, a new project is celebrating the linguistic culture of Australia's Aboriginal communities. The 50 Words Project aims to introduce Australians to everyday words and phrases from hundreds of Indigenous languages. Some are spoken by just a handful of people, while others have been revitalized by communities and academics. We hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
The word for welcome varies across Australia's Indigenous language landscape. Hello comes in many different forms as well.
Kai.
So does where are you going? The 50 Words Project is an interactive online language map. Words and phrases from across this vast continent are brought to life with recordings from Indigenous speakers. It's run by the University of Melbourne's Research Unit for Indigenous Language and aims to maintain linguistic and cultural heritage. Jill Vaughan from the academic unit says she hopes it will help more Australians understand rich linguistic traditions.
It's unfortunately quite a common misconception that there's only one Indigenous Australian language, when in fact there are hundreds of languages, each with thousands and thousands of words. It's also the case that for some Australians, they assume that Indigenous languages are just a relic of the past, and this isn't the case at all.
Researchers say the sounds used in Australia's Indigenous languages are very similar across the country. Neighbouring communities, however, can have very different words for the same things. Some Indigenous languages in Australia have faded away since European colonisation, while others are considered to be critically endangered. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Anyone can now own a small share of a great masterpiece. Vladimir Lensky has this story narrated by Anna Rice.
Investing in art is something beyond what many people can afford. But that may no longer be the case thanks to New York startup called Masterworks. Scott Lin, a collector who in 2017 founded the startup called Masterworks, says the concept of fractional ownership gives people lots of opportunities that used to only be available to the super rich. It's part of a new trend on the market called the democratization of luxury. But Lin says part of his job is to look out for investors without that much money.
For example, many people use IRA or retirement accounts to invest in these paintings. So we want to make sure that the returns are as predictable as possible and the risk is reasonable.
When a masterpiece is sold at an auction to a collector, it usually disappears from the public sight. But in case of fractional ownership, the art piece continues its journey from one museum to another.
We like the idea of once we purchase these paintings and then sell them off to investors, to re-loan them out to museums so they can be seen in the public.
The coronavirus-inspired quarantine has amplified the investors' appetite for art. Since the pandemic hit the U.S. in mid-March, Masterworks has been attracting over 10,000 new investors a month. All in all, people have invested over $30 million in 15 world masterpieces. In the last 2 years, only 5 works of art have been purchased.
At Masterworks, our perspective has been that art is an uncorrelated asset class, meaning that it doesn't necessarily go in the same direction as the stock market or other asset classes. So what we've seen with COVID is that although there's been a large decrease in the total volume of sales by roughly half, we've actually seen art prices increase. And I think in June alone, we saw 22 artists that set price records.
Oil and gold prices, as well as company shares, are prone to ups and downs depending on the situation in the world and changing politics. But even the Dow Jones Index is powerless when it comes to world masterpieces. For Vladimir Lensky in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for our program today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us on Twitter at VOA Asia, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And, of course, we invite you to always stop by our website. That's voanews.com. We thank those who help bring you this program each day, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.